listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Congratulations to the Phillies, who become the last and the last entrant into the Major League Baseball postseason bracket. We don't have our matchups yet because we don't know exactly how things will play out with the NL East and then some of the other standings. However, we know the Phillies are in, which gives us three teams from the NL East. We know that we've got three teams from the AL East as well. So how about that? People accuse, a lot of times accuse national media of being affected by an East Coast bias. People don't say that to me anymore because it's ridiculous. So I laugh, actually. I work really hard at making sure that we cover all the storylines around the country. And I might actually say that we have a West Coast bias more than we have an East Coast bias because of when we start and the games that are just wrapping up when we get on the air. But regardless, there will be an East Coast slant to the upcoming playoffs because there are six teams from the East divisions between the AL and the NL, at least for the first weekend. Once that weekend is over, then, of course, we get to the standard format, which is divisional series, and on into the Final Four, the championship series. And producer Jay was looking at the schedule a little while ago and noticed that if the World Series goes to a Game 7, that it will run into, what is the second week of November? First week of November.
So Game 4, which will be in November. So Game 4 is guaranteed to be November 1st.
We could have snow.
We could have snow, yeah. That'd be possible.
I would totally take that. Baseball in the snow. Let's go. Do you remember a few years ago they actually had to postpone? Gosh, this would have been maybe 2008 or 9. So it was more than a few years ago. They had to postpone a game because it was snowing. It was in November, and it was in a place where it was snowing, so they postponed a World Series game for that reason.
Yeah, I feel like I remember that. The Mets, I feel like, just from being a Mets fan and watching, always, I feel like, have their April trip in Colorado and Denver, and it's at least one, like once every 3 years they get snowed out. It's always funny to see a baseball game get snowed out.
I think if I can run through, well, we don't know for sure because we have no idea where the games would be. But let's just say for the sake of argument that the Yankees were hosting a World Series game. Not saying they're going to. That's not a prediction. But if they did, there's a chance there could be a random snow event in November.
How about Cleveland?
Oh, definitely Cleveland. That would be amazing. Let's do it. Let's have a snow game in the World Series in Cleveland. I was there for the Midge game going back. Remember Jabba Chamberlain?
Of course.
And the Midges? I was actually in the stadium for that playoff game, the Midge game. That was pretty crazy. It's one of my claims to fame when it comes to Cleveland sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. So you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. We're going to reveal your candidates for TD of the Week coming up before this half hour is done. And we're also going to do an extended version. We're going to do a version of QB News, which is heavy on the NFC South. So Tom Brady doing his Monday appearance on Sirius XM NFL Radio and Mad Dog Radio with his Let's Go podcast, which actually one of the features that I appreciate about having the Sirius XM app is that you can get some of these podcasts on demand. So kind of like you guys listen to our podcast on demand whenever it fits your schedule. You can actually get the Tom Brady conversation with Jim Gray, just that, not the whole podcast, but the package deal with Brady and Jim Gray. And it's, 20 minutes every Monday they post it. It's really easy. I go back and listen to it in its entirety when I'm doing work on Tuesday usually. So we've got Tom Brady and his comments on, well, the Bucs struggles offensively, as well as losing to the Chiefs on Sunday night. And the fact that they had three rushing yards. That was it. And then also in the NFC South, Matt Rhule answering questions about whether or not he's going to make a quarterback change. Is Baker Mayfield the right guy for the job?
Don't really care.
He's such a liar. And then also Nathaniel Hackett. No, not Nathaniel Hackett. Sorry, that's not who I'm thinking of. Thinking of Mike McDaniel. We'll let you hear his comments about Tua and the fact that he's been ruled out for week 5. Plus, there was a battle in the NFC West on Monday night. My days all blur together. So we'll get to all of the QB news coming up at the bottom of the hour following the update. And as I say, your candidates for TD of the week, which were not easy to narrow down, any easier than it is to come up with or four candidates for the teams that should be most mortified on Monday. I'm going to retweet the poll just so if you haven't cast your ballot, you can. It's only got a few minutes left, so about 15 minutes to go. But more importantly, if you did already cast your ballot, you can see the results. They'll now be on the top of your newsfeed. So pretty healthy competition. And if one guy said to me, there should be many more teams listed. Well, yes, but the Twitter poll only allows us four candidates. People get so upset about these Twitter polls, not recognizing that we can only use four options. At any point, any poll, four options. That's it.
Let's just rewrite the code real quick.
Yeah. And now that Elon Musk backed out, I can't petition for them to include more teams. Also in sports, Ben Simmons makes his debut with the Brooklyn Nets. Producer Jay, how do you feel about that?
Love it. All about it.
Really? Okay.
I think he's in for a really good year.
Yeah, he says that he feels great. He dealt with not just the mental health concerns that go back to his days with the Phillies. With the Sixers. Sorry, we're just talking about Phillies baseball. But he also had off-season back surgery. And who knows if it was the mental health of the back that kept him off the court in the postseason last year when the Nets were getting swept by the Celtics. But he says he feels amazing now. That's the word that Simmons used, amazing. He played in Monday's preseason loss to the Sixers. Ha ha. He had scheduling gods are doing this on purpose. Although the Nets and the Sixers play each other a lot, so it's an easy matchup. 6 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, which is pretty standard for Ben Simmons' stat line. That's what he does. He fills up a stat sheet. He has the most atypical triple-doubles, but they're pretty common with him. Double-doubles as well. So that happened in basketball.
Get this party started.
Yeah, right. Let's get this party started. I'm so not interested in either hoops or hockey right now, but it's coming. Jay actually told me, I did not realize this, but the puck drops on the NHL regular season on October 11th. You guys, that's a week away.
Yeah, there's been teams have played 4 or 5 preseason games already, just kind of under the radar, but it's here. The NHL is here.
How excited are you?
Oh, I mean, I had my fantasy hockey draft last night.
No,
pretty exciting.
Jay is in like 7 different fantasy leagues. 7.
Well, just the one. 1 baseball. 1. I just do every sport. Fantasy,
don't tell me 1 football because that's not true.
2 footballs. 2 footballs.
Footballs. 2 footballs.
2 footballs.
2 footballs. Okay, and then now hockey.
Now hockey. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty close to 7.
Yeah, it's up there. I got a basketball one. I think next week is my basketball draft, so that's sneaking up.
I don't even know how you keep up with all that stuff. I can't. I just can't. I can barely keep up with my own fantasy team and my survivor pool, which, by the way, I'm still alive. Will you check? Actually, I could check. No, I'm not logged in here, so I can't check. Can you check and see how many peeps are left on Survivor Island?
So I checked the one island. I'm not sure. Not the one that you're on. The other island.
Oh, you just ditched my island?
No, I just didn't get to that one. I had the other one
you
up.
You swam to the other island?
There was 3 people left.
On the other island?
On the other island, right. So there was 6 going into this week, and a couple of them had picked, I forgot who they picked, but they lost. They lost. So there's 3 people left. And I got to check your island. Well, you're still alive. So I'm thinking right now there's only about 10 people, maybe less.
Well,
left.
So it's interesting that you say that because there was one guy who sent me a tweet saying that there were only 7 people left. But I don't know when he was looking. If he was looking prior to Monday Night Football, it could have been, I don't know why you would have picked this game. Yeah. But if it was prior to Monday Night Football, it could have been the same island you're talking about or it could have been my island.
I'm thinking that's your island because the one I saw, I checked yesterday, and there was already only 3 people left and no one had picked the Monday game.
Oh, okay. So 3 people on that one. three people survived the first month.
That's it.
Holy cow. And he said there were seven on the other island or a island. That sounds weird. An island. So roughly.
And you're in there.
I am. Barely.
Like, I don't know about that.
Barely. Oh, yeah. No, the Rams nearly saw a crazy upset. But was it the Falcons a couple weeks ago that the Rams nearly saw come all the way back? And then the Packers had to go into overtime to beat the Patriots. So I've had a couple of pretty close calls. Obviously, our office pool were out because we picked Cleveland a couple weeks ago when they lost to the Jets. We got brown-nosed for sure. All right, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I just want to spend a couple minutes here on, I believe, a headline and a story that should get a lot of attention. I don't know if it will. I certainly understand the time of year that we're in, and I also believe that sometimes we as humans, we tend to ignore those stories or those topics that make us uncomfortable. And this is one of those. It makes me uncomfortable, and I'm a female who played sports for a long time. I'm a female who works in sports. But there has been this independent investigation into player abuse in women's pro soccer. And the investigation actually just wrapped up, and they completed they completed their report and released it on Monday. And according to the report, the league, the National Women's Soccer League, NWSL, the league has failed its players over and over again. This is not a new narrative. We heard very similar accusations and conclusions about women's gymnastics, right? Going back to USA Gymnastics and Larry Nassar, and not just Nassar, but the years of abuse of those young girls, in some cases, preteens, on into their teenage years, suffering not just sexual abuse, but also in some cases, physical, mental, emotional abuse for the sake of a sport. And now we're talking about a professional women's soccer league in which there, according to the report, has been rampant abuse and misconduct. And I'm going to read this particular line from the report. Verbal and emotional abuse and sexual misconduct had become systemic, spanning multiple teams, coaches, and victims. I agree with the report that indicates the NWSL, which is women's pro soccer, is just part of an extended sequence of leagues for youth and then high schoolers and then young women and then on up into the pros. This is a pattern that has become rampant at many levels of women's sports, girls' sports. And it's only now, and again, these investigations are becoming more common, these storylines and these shocking revelations are becoming more common because there is strength in numbers. And it's a cliche for a reason. The more women speak out, the more girls speak out about the abuse that they've suffered, the more women and girls will speak out. And so I give credit to USA Gymnastics and the number of young women and girls who finally came forward. They were identified. They spoke in court in many cases. They did interviews. They came out of a safe space to expose what was rampant abuse at many levels and layers of gymnastics that had gone on for years, ultimately resulting in some very public criminal charges and Larry Nassar, the monster, going away for life. But it wasn't just him. It was those schools, in the case of Michigan State, and those officials, in the case of USA Gymnastics, that enabled him to have continued access to the gymnasts. Even when they would make complaints, even when they would speak up, they were either silenced because of the fear of retaliation or the fear of losing their opportunities with USA Gymnastics, or they were ignored, flat out ignored. And so because of USA Gymnastics and because of the very high-profile gymnasts who were willing to speak publicly about the abuse and about the trauma, we're now going to have more women and girls who participate in sports, who've been victims of abuse, feeling empowered to come forward. And that is so, so important. Think of it as the Me Too movement, but in sports, right? The more women that would come out and would speak up about sexual harassment and discrimination that they experienced at the hands of employers or coworkers, even exposing very high profile members of their corporations, or in the case of media, athletes and media personalities, the more that people, women, spoke out, the more women were going to speak out. And so that's really about being empowered and feeling like you're not alone. It's easier when you're not standing all by yourself. I mean, it happened with the Deshaun Watson situation too. One woman had the courage to speak out, and then more women came forward because they realized, hey, it's not just me. I'm not alone. And so this report that was investigating claims of abuse in women's pro soccer actually notes that this is a culture in women's soccer that starts in the youth leagues, which, if you don't care about women's professional athletes, pro soccer players, at least care about the fact that this is also taking place with young girls. It's also taking place at the base level where youth soccer players are subjected to verbally abusive coaches and also, in some cases, in the most extreme cases, you've got sexual misconduct and sexual abuse. There was actually one woman who agreed to be identified. She played in Louisville, and she spoke publicly about the abuse that she suffered at the hands of her manager, and he was fired. But the report goes into the details, which are sickening. So I'm not going to share them on the show. If you want to know the details, you can easily read them in any of the stories that is now posted on the internet or in the report itself. But essentially, this player was called in for a film session, and the manager, told her that for every mistake she made, he was going to touch her. Just sick. It makes me want to throw up. And I know sometimes it's hard for people to understand how athletes could let this happen, right? How could they stand there and take it? How could they allow themselves to be abused? But remember that when you're in a position of needing this manager or this coach or an official to keep your career going, they stand in the way of you and your dreams, your goals in your sport or in your industry. I mean, I've never suffered physical sexual abuse, but I was certainly harassed and discriminated against, and in many cases, chose to stay silent because I recognized that that man could get me fired, or that man could stop using me on the air or stop calling me to work. And I knew I was the one that would lose if I spoke up. Thankfully, it's not that way anymore for most people. But there are a lot of women who don't want to speak up because they worry about retaliation. And in the case of sports, that's a major part of the problem, right? Is that you could get kicked off a team. You could have your contract not renewed. You know, the people can spread the word about you and say things about you that aren't true. And all of a sudden, you've been blackballed from your particular league. And so he was fired, though the team never really indicated why he was fired. But now this soccer player is speaking out. And she's not the only one. You know, the fact that this is a common problem in women's soccer, sexual misconduct, and it's not just verbal, it's in many cases physical sexual misconduct, and the different abuses, whether it be verbal, whether it be emotional, those are not okay. Those things are not okay. And this report is explosive and it's heartbreaking and it's just the next problem for the U.S. Soccer Federation to address. Going back to their fight with women's soccer about equal pay and equal resources, well, now here they have this investigation and the findings that come out, and it's certainly important that the abuse is uncovered, but at the same time, it's unbelievable that it's taken this long. It's unbelievable that USA Gymnastics allowed so many girls and young women to be abused. And now here it's been happening in soccer and does still happen at various levels of soccer. Cindy Parlow Cohn is the president of the U.S. Soccer Federation, and she reacted after seeing the report.
Investigation's findings are heartbreaking, infuriating, and deeply troubling. The misconduct and abuse is entirely inexcusable and has no place in soccer on or off the field. I think this report makes it clear that we need to make systemic changes at every level of our game. The gravity of these issues requires not us to just simply turn the page. We can and we must use this report as a galvanizing moment for forward progress.
Agreed. And like I said, the fact that there was this really this kind of pulling back of the curtain on USA Gymnastics, and now it's happening in soccer as well, is, again, going to be empowering for others who will speak out. And really, there are so many other allegations and so many other stories that will just, they're just crushing. They'll just break your heart if you have a heart. But the types of coercion that I'm talking about, where a manager or a coach is standing in between his players and what they want, or his players and, you know, their ability to continue their careers. But it's not just that they could physically lose their careers. It's also having to show up to work feeling like, you know, you have to walk on eggshells, or having to show up for your games and feeling like if you don't go along with what your manager or coaches say, that, you know, that you're going to be out or you're going to lose your playing time and all those types of things. And, you know, whether it's tirades, manipulation by power and authority figures, retaliation for those who attempt to come forward, all of those are ways that, and it's not just women, but we're talking about female athletes here, that athletes have been kept silent or have been forced to suck it up, so to speak. And that's not okay. It's not okay for girls and boys. It's not okay for young women and men. And it's not okay for grownups either. Again, even though I know sometimes it's hard for people to understand why they wouldn't just remove themselves from the situation. But when you think about someone who's holding the keys to what you want most, which is a career in pro sports, then you think, okay, I'll suffer in silence. I'll suck it up. I'll do what I need to do. But it's not okay. I mean, these are crimes that are being committed against other humans. So if you're interested, or even if you're not, you just want to be informed, maybe check out some of the articles that are online. And I'm glad that U.S. Soccer is part of this. It was their investigation, because maybe that prevents it from happening at the national level, which of course has, you know, under 21 and under 16 and blah, blah, blah. Like, they've got layers of national team programs for younger girls and for young women too. So it's important that it's prevented at the ground level all the way up through the pro level. But not ever comfortable to talk about. I just know that it's really important that people understand what's been happening for years, and that these are really critical steps to make sure that it's cleaned up at the very basic level in women's sports and in men's sports. It's not okay there either. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, to connect with you always. I'm running way late, but this is important. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Made a guy miss. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown!
Southern Salting into the end zone.
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Kansas City Chiefs.
At the 2, they fake the trap. Now Mahomes scrambling to his right, holding it, gets off the hit, now lunging forward, and now fires it late, caught at the back of the end zone. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Mahomes with the touchdown pass. His second touchdown pass of this game, the 161st of his career. That is the most touchdown passes by any NFL quarterback in history in their first 67 games.
The Buffalo Bills.
Second and 3. Bills at the Ravens 11-yard line. They show blitz again. Josh takes the snap. Back to throw. Now he's going to run it around the left side. First down yardage inside the 5. Headed towards the end zone. Is he in? Yes. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen around the left side. Touchdown. An 11-yard run for the Buffalo quarterback. What a play.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
4 seconds on the play clock. Carr's under center. Hands it off to Jacobs. Burst through the middle. Cuts back at the 5. Carries a defender. Touchdown, Raiders! Jacobs tosses it into the stands. And he might have just sealed Las Vegas' first win of the year.
The New York Jets.
Inside the 2.
What a game!
Wilson takes the snap. Handoff. Hall up the middle. Extra effort at the goal line. The ball popped out. He might have lost it at the goal line. The Jets think he got across the goal line.
The runner broke the plane of the goal line. Therefore, by rule, that is a touchdown.
The Jets have a touchdown. Breece Hall did indeed break the plane before the ball popped out.
When was the last time we had a candidate from the New York Jets for TD of the week? Oh, week 2. Oh, well, see, that's what I get for being snarky. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. In fact, those snarky Jets were the ones that eliminated us from the office survivor pool. So I guess I should have remembered that. Bob was Schusen, nearly losing his voice on that game-winning touchdown that happened in the final 15 seconds against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so the Jets get their second dramatic win. Before that, Josh Jacobs on the Raiders radio network with Jason Horowitz, as he has a monster day and the Raiders are able to dominate the ball in the time of possession against the Broncos. Josh Allen ties the game between the Bills and the Ravens with his 11-yard touchdown run. And, of course, they were then able to win with a late field goal. But the fact that they came all the way back from 17 points down to tie the game at 20 was pretty dramatic in and of itself. Bills Mafia alive and well. John Murphy on Bills Radio. And then, of course, Patrick Mahomes, the spin move to gawk at. Mitch Holtis on Chiefs Radio. This was quite the acrobatic feat, but are we now just expecting it with Patrick Mahomes? He runs to the right to elude pressure. He gets along the sidelines. He spins out of the grasp of a would-be tackler left in the dust, and then a combination jump pass and push pass.
Mahomes magic.
To Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the back of the end zone. It's the most awkward thing you'll ever see. And yet, because it's Mahomes, it's definitely magic. So the poll is up on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. You can vote for the TD of the week, After Hours style. And I do love that producer Jay found enough room in one of the options, because sometimes they limit the number of characters that you can use. But Mahomes with the spinorama. I don't know how you can vote for anything else when it's spinorama. So it's spinorama, but you don't give fun little titles to all the other ones.
I try. There's only allowed 25 characters, and it's really annoying.
But somehow you fit spinorama.
I fit spinorama because that's was the best description of that touchdown.
Definitely was. A push pass. It doesn't sound nearly as much fun as spinorama. Spinning like a top. Yeah, so you can vote on Twitter or on Facebook, and we'll reveal your choice for the After Hours TD of the Week coming up during the Hump Show. All right, our phone number is 855-212-4227. We will hit QB news. There isn't any from the Spinorama Master, unfortunately, but the guy who was on the opposite side of the field, who lost in that game between the Chiefs and the Bucks, we'll hear from Tom Brady about exactly what in the heck is wrong with the Bucks offense.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Hurry back to
the listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
And it is. Is it tossed? Oh my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Dapper from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's got it. Touchdown. Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone. Touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Always, always QB news. Assorted varieties, assorted headlines and topics, and assorted sources, actually. More and more of these guys have podcasts. You know what I just found out this weekend, producer Jay? Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce have a podcast. Well, I needed that in my life. How did I last this long without knowing the Kelce brothers had a podcast?
Yeah, I didn't know that either. It sounds about right.
From now on, we need to assume that everyone has a podcast so that we, because they've become a major source material for a lot of our stuff here on the show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jimmy Garoppolo, 16 of 27, 239 yards, a touchdown pass to Deebo Samuel on Monday night. No sacks, which is critical. He says his shoulder is holding up. He looked pretty efficient throwing the ball, had some zip on it, though he was off target on a few. But most importantly, the Niners beat the Rams in the Bay Area.
It's always nice to beat these guys, division game. And just, I don't know, every time we play the Rams, it's a dogfight. It always is. And always usually comes down to, you know, the last couple minutes, and I think Huff made a huge play for us at the end there to kind of seal it for us. When you go through a tough week like that, it makes for, you know, makes this feel a lot better at the end. So we've been in this situation before, you know, just it's a roller coaster this season, and you just gotta ride the highs and lows and kind of stay right in the middle as much as you can, and you know, that's how you get success in the end.
Referring to Huff Hufanga. Hufanga, love that name. I just want to say it over and over anyway because it's fun. But he had the pick six after a missed field goal. Did I say Hufanga? Should I say Hufanga? Hufanga?
Hufanga.
We need Kevin Harlan to yell it out. Anyway, he had the pick six, and that was a huge play for the Niners. But right after that, they were able to recover a fumble. And so the defense with the seven sacks of Matthew Stafford, the two takeaways, it was a rough day for the Rams offense, managing just three field goals, and Stafford knows it.
We knew it was going to be a battle. You know, we weren't good enough, you know, myself, and you know, first and foremost in the red zone, had some opportunities to put some points up and didn't get touchdowns there, and that's, you know, probably the difference in the game. You know, we can execute better, whether it's throwing and catching or just assignment wise. So a lot to clean up. Proud of the way we fought. Give them a lot of credit. It's a good football team. But like you said, one possession game. You know, we make a critical error there, and they capitalize on it, and that was that.
I mean, it was a one possession game. He makes a good point, but the Rams just had no traction on offense. They only managed 257 yards. There was the pick six that he describes as the critical mistake. And then the Rams were 0-3 in the red zone. So it's kind of a mess all around for them. They didn't get a whole lot going ever, even though Cooper Kupp had a lot of yards himself. Maybe half of the Rams' yardage.
It's picked off Hufanga at the 50.
Hufanga. I was right the first time. Always go with your first answer. It's After Hours from Monday Night Football. And now the best of the rest. The rest of the best. That works too. Tom Brady on his Let's Go podcast on Monday on SiriusXM NFL Radio and Mad Dog Radio. And he's pretty open about how the Buccaneers are struggling right now on offense.
It's pretty challenging, and we put ourselves in that position now for the first 4 weeks of the season. We've basically been behind in every game, which forces you to be one-dimensional offensively and allows the other team to be multidimensional. And when you play against a good team like the Chiefs, who have a great quarterback, and, you know, they're playing the style of play they want to play, you know, it just is not the way that you want to play good teams. And, you know, we're going to have to figure out how to be better on third down on both sides of the ball. We've got to eliminate turnovers and get turnovers offensively and defensively. We've got to continue to improve on special teams. And, you know, we got to learn from our mistakes. That's what football season's all about. We definitely have not played very good football the first 4 weeks. Hopefully we can turn it around here and find our rhythm and get better, make improvements, get to practice, and make the improvements we need to make in order for us to reach our potential. So it's a long season. We're 2-2. It's certainly not where we want to be. But if we want to do something about it, we got to get our ass out there and do a better job.
The Bucs and Falcons are tied as the leaders in the NFC South at 2-2, and the Panthers and the Saints are a game behind at 1-3. So, yes, he makes a good point. It's a long road. However, you know he's not a huge fan of scuffles on offense, and he gets very frustrated, very passionate, though I appreciate he's not going to make any kind of excuses.
You know, we haven't found a rhythm on offense. We've got so many guys in and out of the lineup. It just, it's not an excuse, it's the reality. And every team is dealing with that. There's so few teams that are 4-0. There's only one team 4-0. Most teams are 1-3, 2-2, or 3-1. So we're one of those teams. We're right in the middle of the pack. We've been very average to this point, and we got to be a lot better going forward because it's up to us to change it. We have a lot of ability on our team, but our ability to maximize our ability and our potential is going to come down to us. And we haven't done that to this point. There's no excuses for it. You either get it done or you don't.
One of the things that jumped out to me, I mean, it was really a stark contrast in that game on Sunday night, is how little they attempted to run the ball. 6 carries for 3 yards. Now, I get it. They were trailing against the Kansas City Chiefs. But to not have any type of balance between the pass and the run, it even underscores more how one-dimensional their offense is. And that's something Brady was talking about as well.
It's too difficult to become one-dimensional over the course of the season, and we have not done a good job in the run game this year. We started off pretty good against Dallas, who's actually a really good defense and ran the ball really well. And against the Saints, it wasn't very good. Against the Packers, it wasn't very good. And yesterday, and I think a lot of it, you know, comes down to playing from behind where you become one-dimensional and you throw the ball so much. But at the same time, we need to be productive when we do run it. So getting ourselves in the right run play, you know, getting our guys the right angles and the right opportunities to, you know, have some confidence that we can make yards when we hand the ball off. So I think being efficient is one thing. Being explosive is another thing. You can see when you play from a lead like the Chiefs did yesterday and they have everything at their disposal, you know, you have the opportunity to run the ball a lot more. And we've got to be able to play with the lead. We've got to stop turning the ball over. We've got to get ahead. We've got to make third downs. We've got to score points. And when we get ahead, it allows you to do both. And if you do both well, you become very tough to stop on offense.
Another reason to listen to podcasts, because these athletes are far more open usually and authentic than you'll get in a post-game press conference where he's much more tight-lipped. Brady on Let's Go with Jim Gray on Sirius XM NFL Radio. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We know he's not in danger of losing his job as the starting quarterback, but is there another quarterback in the NFC South Division in danger of being usurped as the starter? Oh, dear. Matt Rhule now fielding questions routinely about Baker Mayfield, and one of them on Monday: what did you see in Baker exactly when you all made the trade for him?
Baker's always been a winner. He's a talented guy that's made plays, took the Browns to the playoffs. And for us, it was about bring another good player in and have great competition, you know, with four quarterbacks. You know, two of those guys have gotten hurt along the way. I think Baker would be the first to say, I'm sure when you talk to guys, he wants to play better. I think he also needs some guys on offense to, you know, make some plays for him at times. I thought we had some plays early on tight end wise. I think we could have made some catches for him and helped him out. So, we're on offense overall, you know, our execution. I mean, at the end of the day, when you play the way we played on defense for a long parts of that game, you know, we just need the offense to kind of kick in a little bit.
I just mentioned the Panthers are 1-3. Baker has 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. His completion percentage on Sunday was above 61, but overall, his completion rate is 54.7%. That is, well, it's not good. You don't need me to tell you that. Stop it. You don't need me to tell you that. It's just been a mess, even with Christian McCaffrey, and they just wasted another 100-yard game from CMC. So, Coach, will you continue with Baker as QB1?
I think Baker's our quarterback. You know, we have to continue to find ways to help him, and then help the other guys. You know, Sam's not cleared right now. We're just going to keep trying to get better.
If you're Baker Mayfield and you hear your head coach say, "I think Baker's our quarterback," what? Okay.
I think Baker's our quarterback.
Yeah, no, I think that's not very, it's not very substantial in terms of your vote of confidence. I think Baker's our quarterback, but it might change tomorrow. The Dolphins will continue to need a backup QB because Tua is not available.
This is something that it's too early to give a definite timeline. I can comfortably say that he'll be out for this game against the Jets. But anything beyond that, we're just focused on making sure he's at optimum health and then crossing that bridge. So it's a little early for definitive timelines beyond that.
Mike McDaniel said that Tua was in the building on Monday, and he's continually getting evaluated so far. There's been no sensitivity to light or to noise, but certainly he's in concussion protocol and out for week 5. I think Baker's our quarterback. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.